God bless you, Saints. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we've made it to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. In our little study. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now, provocation, as we were examining last week, provocation is when it's something you do to make somebody really annoyed or angry. So the provocation in the wilderness is when, to make God upset with us is when we disbelieve his word. And really, you know, whenever anybody says something, it's a horrible slight. It's an insult to not believe what somebody says. You know, if you tell somebody, "I'm going to do something for you," and they don't believe it, or "I'm going to be there at such and such a time," and they don't believe you, and they're late or whatever, it becomes something that's a little insulting. Now think about how God feels when we don't believe his word. Now, so this whole story that they're kind of unfolding, the provocation is that Paul's talking about here. The provocation is these people that cannot enter into the rest. And when we go on over into Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 talks more about what that rest is. With the rest, rest is when you're not laboring anymore. God's doing, you enter into a place where you're settled, and God's the one that's doing the work, and you're not thrashing anymore. So if we go to the next slide, Brother Bram said they heard it, but they didn't believe it. God come down, he showed them a pillar of fire, showed by his prophets signs and wonders, he was with him. They didn't believe it. Oh, they like to see the miracles, they like to hear the prophet, but as far as believing it, they didn't. Their lives prove they didn't. Now he said, "Don't you fall after that same example of unbelief. For in this last days to the Gentile church, God has appeared again, same sign, same wonder, same pillar of fire, vindicated, proven. Let us not harden our hearts and fall in that temptation back yonder of unbelief. For we'll rot on earth, and that'll be all of it." Now if we go to the next slide, what we were kind of getting at last Sunday is to really get the full gist of what this is talking about. You have to see where you are, and you know, when you read the word and when you come to church, the word begins to open up and reveal to you where you are again. Whether that's you're not born again, or you are born again and you're going through a journey up to the adoption, or you are adopted, and now the seals can become open to you, and God can reveal to you the whole plan of your redemption, and that it's been done, and how to take a body change. So all of those things, now you kind of picture in your mind, the bulk really of a Christian life happens at this little place of sanctification, going through the wilderness, getting all of these, going through a testing time and getting these things purged out of us, and God examining our faith to see if we're really going to stand the test and believe his word in spite of all the obstacles. So as you look at what all these things that the children of Israel were going through, they went through a lot of hard times and a lot of rough things happened and strange things. And yet, just about every time they faltered and they failed to believe God's word. And then they would begin to blame Moses and Aaron and say, "Well, God judge you," and all these kind of, we'll examine these things in a little bit. And so really, as we look through these things, maybe just take a moment to examine our own heart and see, could we be doing the same things today that they were doing back then? Because wherever you are in your journey, if you disbelieve God's word, it's going to prevent you from coming to that stage of rest, whether that's a new birth or adoption or a body change. So on the next slide, we looked at the journey again. I'm just going to run through some of these for a quick backgrounder. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the journey of a believer. And on the next slide, going up from, go to the next slide, one more. You go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you're born again. Yeah. And now you're of faith. And then, as Paul said, I think it's 1 Corinthians, if those who he has predestinated, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he's already glorified. Now we're talking about now you're justified. And so you begin to be purged as you go through the stature of a perfect man, God cleaning you out, cleaning your life, and then you can be baptized with the token, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your life to being revealed. What's the baptism of the Holy Ghost? God, he's trying to get you to a place when you're born again, he gets you to a place where you can believe. Amen. He fills you with his life, and now he's the one doing the believing. Amen. As Paul said in Galatians, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Is his faith now in you believing. Amen. So now when he gets you to adoption, now he comes and he's got you to a place again where he can begin opening up the word to you. You really, really. Now, message preachers in this day, we're supposed to really be preaching. You're not really even preaching the message until you're preaching that message. That's what we're trying to get everybody to a place where we can preach the message, but not just some little baby form, but actually preach the message, because then the seals can be opened up to you and the word can really be opened up to you so that we can take a body change. So when you go up to adoption now where you're on a journey. You're on a journey to take a body change. Amen. And that's the final baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's really deep, I guess. Now, Brother Branham, in an adoption message in 1960, he said there was three stages of the journey, and there's three stages of this journey. For we are justified by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking the land of Egypt, come out, and then are sanctified through the offering of his blood, washed from our sins, and become pilgrims and sojourners, claiming that we are seeking a land, a city that's coming, or a promise. So did Israel in the wilderness, sojourners, no place to rest, traveling night after night, following the pillar of fire, but finally come to the promised land where they settled down. And so the promised land is your rest. Amen. And the promised land is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what you've been promised. And in that, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that go into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like we were just explaining. It's more than just a little one little baby form thing. But as it unfolds, it becomes richer and richer, and there's each stage brings you to a place of rest. Don't you know that after you climb the stature of perfect man and you finally get to where you're going, now you can rest, but you ain't done yet. There's more to it. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Ram said, he said, Paul trying to get down here the experience that he had, trying to relate the experience. He typed it to the Old Testament. He said, now we've entered into a new thing, to this new dispensation by Jesus Christ. Old times, the Lord appeared to them by the prophets. That's Hebrews 1. But now he's by his son Jesus. Now he said, they enter not because of their unbelief. They did not believe. But now we move into a dispensation, and don't you harden your heart. Don't you act like they did in the days of provocation when they provoked God. Now listen to this now. How did they do it? How did they provoke God? Not by living immorally. He said, let me grind this down to you. You say, Brother Branham, I go to church. That's all right. I never lied in my life. That's fine. I never stole. I never done this, that, or that. That sounds like the rich young ruler. I've kept all these things. All these things have I done. Amen. That's very fine. That's all good. But that still isn't sin. The sin is when God shows himself and you disbelieve it. Amen. You won't listen to it. Amen. When God shows you and you won't listen to it. Amen. Now see, sin, disbelief. Now that's maybe a sticking point. I'm born again. Can I disbelieve God's word? Well, now think about it. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had the Holy Ghost, had the life of God down in their soul. But yet here comes the serpent along and gives them a little something off the word, and they get snared in it. Now see, when you're going up the stature of a perfect man, you're born again. But yet you still have problems. Like somebody will say something. Somebody will point out maybe some things in the message that seem like they're contradictory, and you get all confused. And if you're not looking at it right, you'll cast it aside and say, I don't agree with that. And you won't be able to go further. So now let's examine some of these things. Harden not your hearts on the next slide, as in the provocation. Now, there's 14 times, if you run through the story of Exodus and Numbers, it carries on into Numbers, where, and I'm not going to linger too much on these things, because, I mean, you could spend weeks and weeks on each one of these, but we're just going to kind of take a quick tour of some of these things that the Israelites did as they were journeying out of Egypt. Now, the first thing they did before they even really got started was when Moses went down there with a message, and he came and he said, I'm coming to deliver you. And the Pharaoh started heaping on them all of the some extra work. And they said, now it says here in Exodus chapter 5, verse 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge. The Lord look upon Moses and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. So right away, they're starting on their journey. And they get a little bit of hardship. Now, isn't that what we do? When we get a little bit of hardship, you know, you think about all the hard things that Brother Branham had to endure in his life, watching God allow his wife and his baby to die, and the story of the flood, and just on and on and on. But yet he kept pressing on. And you go read, like, for example, Hebrews 11, and you can see all of the hardships that Isaiah had to endure as he was being chased by Manasseh, as we were talking about Wednesday night, being killed, and all the different ones that were thrown into the eaten by lions and all those sorts of things. And you know, when you get into a hard place at work or a hard place with your family, it's not time to turn back. It's not time to get slack, or it's not time to stop believing God's word. But it's time. That's when you should really buckle down and say, it's hard, but yet I'm holding on, or there's something holding me. That I'm believing, despite all the obstacles, despite all the circumstances and things that I can see, I'm believing, despite everything that I can see. Now, see, they, in their disbelief, what did they do? And you'll see this echoed all throughout all of these provocations. They turn their blame, instead of looking at themselves, they turn their blame on Moses. Isn't that a strange symptom of the human condition, to look to not just blame somebody else, but to blame the preacher, to blame the one that's trying to help them out, and they turn their finger pointer on the preacher and say, it's the preacher's fault why my family's in this condition, or it's the preacher's fault why things don't seem to be going on. And they said, the Lord look upon you and judge, because we're going through a hard time. Now let's go on to the next one. When they got to the Red Sea, and this is where Brother Branham preached that sermon, Why Christ Speak. And, you know, if you go back and listen to that, he backgrounds for most of that sermon, talks about how he, all of these things that they had seen, the plagues and all of these things that had built up, that where they should have, Moses especially, he should have been built up to a place where he knew what his purpose was. And they got there, and the Egyptians were marching after them, and the children of Israel said, and they said unto Moses in verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now you think about what Egypt means. Egypt means, and we'll see here in a second, it means that they called it, the Bible calls it the flesh pots of Egypt, that we've left the flesh pots. And Egypt represents all of that trash that you're leaving behind. And all the time they were going through this journey, they kept looking back to the trash and looking, or let's say it like this, depending on where you are in your journey, looking back to their previous condition, looking back. You know, when you're an adult, you don't want to go back to being a baby. And when you're born again, you don't want to go back to being a sinner. But yet they kept looking back to, I wish it would have been better for us to be back in that condition than where we are now, following the pillar of fire, following a God-chosen man, following, you know, God with us, God causing water to come forth from the rock, giving us everything we need, giving us bread with us day by day. It would have been better. You think, what a strange thing. But yet, even today, people still exhibit that same trait. I would rather be in my previous condition. And they said, wherefore hast thou dealt with us? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? I told you this was going to happen. Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Now you think about the grace of God to rescue like Lot down there where the angels actually had to put their hands on him and say, let's go. And God in his grace will come and give us a word and give us ministers to deal with us and almost like sometimes seems like forcing us to get out. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Let's go to number three. And when they finally got to some more hard times, they got to a place, the first place that God sent them was the bitter waters, where they got to a place where the waters they thought were going to be fresh and they were bitter. Now, they started murmuring against Moses in verse 24. What shall we drink? They needed some water to drink. And instead of realizing that that same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that caused all the plagues and changed Pharaoh's heart, so he said, I'll let you go, and gave them gold and everything as they were leaving, go take from gold from your neighbors, and provided everything they had need of. Instead of realizing that that same God was on the scene to make those waters pure again, they started murmuring again against Moses. What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Showed him a tree. Now, you see, he ran over there and he grabbed the tree. He knew what to do. He knew, you know, think about how Jesus is typed with a tree. He's the tree of life. And that tree of life was crucified on the tree. And so Moses went over and grabbed the tree and threw it in the water and it became pure again. And he said, and it says, when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, if they had that same kind of promise, we've got that same kind of promise today. And when you get into a bad time, when you get to bitter waters or whatever these stories that we're reading through, whatever situation, don't do like them, but just believe God. That's all he expects us of us is just to believe him. So they kept marching on, and they got to the fourth provocation. They got to a place where they got a little bit hungry. And it says, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. Now you notice the next one after this is thirst. This one's hunger, and the next one's thirst. And God, we so many times we look for things outside of the Word, outside of the Spirit of God, to quench our hunger and thirst. Just like they started looking back to where they come from. I wish I had all of the stuff in Egypt. Now, this is the scripture where it says about flesh pots. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, you know, isn't that an interesting word, flesh pots? Flesh pots really has a double meaning. It means like a bowl full of meat, yeah, but it also means like Las Vegas. It means like the sin of the world. So they were wanting to go back into that. Now you think they were at a place, all that background, and yet they wanted to go back into that place of sin. And then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Now you see how easy it is, easy it was for them to just get, they didn't realize that God was with them. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law. Now let's go to the next one, the number five. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. You remember Brother Bram preached that sermon, Thirst, or sermons, lots of sermons on thirst, about how that you try to quench that thirst that God has given you, that holy thirst, with the things of the world. And instead of that, that thirst that God has given you is a thirst for Him. And God provided, He provided a way for their thirst to be quenched here when He told Moses to smite the rock and there shall come water out of it. Now when He smote that rock, I know we know the dramatization. It wasn't just a little trickle, but it was a great big gusher that the Bible says that came forth as a river. And Paul said, and it might be 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians. He said that rock followed them. That it followed them through the wilderness. So wherever they went, that rock was with them. That they could, you think about that, they could look over there and see that rock was being provided, that the water was being provided for them, a continual stream enough to feed 2 million people. And yet, even today, when you come into church, into the sanctuary of the Lord, and you might be thirsty, you might be you know there's something wrong in your life, and yet that same rock is still here today to satisfy that holy thirst that God has given to you, to quench that thirst. If you'll just reach out and let it open up your heart and let that thirst be quenched. Now the sixth one is the real interesting one, because Moses goes up. Now you think about what Moses was doing. Brother Branham said when he went to the top of that mountain, God gave him the seals. That you think, why would the Ten Commandments be the seals? Because the Ten Commandments is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right. Written on those tables of stone is the attributes that would be manifest, that God wanted to manifest in a believer. That you're going to worship the Lord thy God with all your heart, that you're going to put God before everything else, that you're going to honor your father and mother, you're not going to tell lies, and you're not going to steal, and all the other things that are written in the Ten Commandments. And so Moses went up there to get the seals. And he came down from the mountain with the seals, and nobody wanted to have none of it. They would rather have their golden calf. They'd rather have their own ideas than what God had, that what the God's prophet had gone up to the mountain to receive from the actual finger of God Himself. That God wrote with Himself, by Himself, the message that He came down from the mountain with. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Think about what a statement to say that this, not the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but this golden calf is how we came out of Egypt. What a statement. And this is the first time that Moses intercedes for the people. Now we'll read through that God gets to, as they provoke him and say that they disbelieve, they get him to a place where he's just ready to destroy them all and start over again. And every time he does that, then Moses, and Brother Bam explained it, that Moses is Christ in Moses, in stepping in the way and saying, don't, what are all the other nations going to think? If you've promised that you were going to take us to the promised land, and if you wipe the slate clean, then everybody's going to look at you and think that you're not fulfilling your word. And each time Moses would step in the way and intercede for the people. You think again about the grace of God. And number seven, they started complaining about the manna. And when they after eating all that, you think the Bible tells us what manna looked like. It was the size of a coriander seed, and it looked like bdellium, which is a little brown and like kind of a little bit glossy or whatever. So it was real small. In other words, it was hard to get. You had to go out and do some work for it. And so just like us, we kind of got to go through our Bible and spend some time. The preacher preaches hard things and you don't understand it. And then you got to go home and meditate on it and pray about it. And they got a little bit frustrated with the process. Every day they had to go out and they couldn't even keep any over. They had to go out the next morning, because if they kept any over, then it would get rotted up. And so they had to keep doing it every day. And just like us, we've got to keep going. Yes. We can't get stagnant. We got to keep going back and reading and studying. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day about how when you the message is so supernatural, and I'm about to wrap up here. When you read a message, the first time you read it, you think, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. But then you go back again. Oh, I missed that the last time. And then you go back again, and oh, there's something else that unfolds, and it just keeps unfolding and unfolding because it's supernatural.
Amen.
And you can't get frustrated like these did and stop and say, I'm so tired of this word. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. I'm so tired. And when Moses got to hear and how they were so tired, he said, Lord, just kill me. He said, if thou deal thus with me, I kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And this is when God put his spirit that was in Moses on the 70 men and kind of gave him a little respite. Gave him 70 men to help him out a little bit. God bless you.
Amen.